How do you, when something new comes along, like, what is it, the coronavirus?
Coronavirus.
How do you remember the name of it?
Yeah, it's, well, I think of the beer.
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah.
Is that what everybody does?
I don't know. Has anyone done the joke putting a bit of lemon on someone's head to, you know, the Corona drink? Surely, yeah. I'm sure people are doing stand-up about it. My Corona. Hey, that's not bad.
What is it? My Sharona.
My Sharona by the Knack. Here's an interesting fact. In Pulp Fiction, in the freak scene, the gimp scene, you know when the guy, it's so horrific, he gets hit in an accident at a crossing.
Yeah.
Then he gets dragged down into like a sex dungeon and they release the gimp. Remember when they released the gimp?
Mm.
Anyway.
I'm going with you.
Yeah. Anyway, they play a song and Quentin Tarantino, really wanted the Knack's My Sharona at that moment.
Yep.
But the main guy from the Knack is a Christian and said no.
Yeah.
Said no.
Well, you would.
Well, I mean, My Sharona is such a great song.
Who, that was a one-hit wonder, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I still remember the day where Molly Meldrum previewed their second single, Some Girls Do, I think. Some Girls Do. Oh, no, that's racy. Anyway, they had a second single, and Molly goes, oh, yeah, you know. Because my brother, Trev, was a big Knack fan.
And, it was Knack, wasn't it? The Knack?
The Knack. And Molly Meldrum said, yeah, I reckon it sounds like the first song, bit of a one-hit wonder, I believe, the Knack. Anyway, and my brother's like, oh, fuck you, Molly, what would you know?
Yeah.
Very, very aggressive at home in front of the TV. But I'll tell you what, Molly was right. They were a one-hit wonder. Wow. Even though the second song, I didn't mind it. I've actually...
What was it?
I can't remember.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway. I mean, I have been on Spicks and Specs a lot, and I should know it.
You should know. Maybe it'll come to you later.
Some girl... Oh, I keep getting mixed up with another song. Anyway.
So... With the corona virus going around.
My corona. Corona. Yeah. When you going to give it up? Get off the plane.
Are you any more aware of your hygiene?
Oh, yeah. Okay. My partner's been saying wash your hands more. Because now it's in Italy. Did you see that in the paper today? They've closed down all northern Italy.
Korea.
And there's a mum at school who's been keeping some of her kids home from school because she's scared they're going to get the coronavirus.
In Australia?
Well, it's an overreaction, but, you know...
Give him home.
I saw her, in fact, today, and she was saying, oh, yeah, it's really full on. It could easily spread here.
Oh, so. It could. Yeah, it could. So I went to the toilet. I know we talk about... I know we've been down this road before, and but this did actually happen. So I went to the toilet, and I thought, oh, yes, my corona. Better wash my hands. Wash my hands.
Corona.
Hands into... The new style of blower. I know you had an incident with the new style of blower.
The Dyson.
When I
thought they were a urinal.
You thought it was a urinal, and yeah. And
there's a lot of splashback.
Well, that's but that's just my point. My hands were quite wet, obviously. Yeah. I didn't shake them off. Mm. I put them into the Dyson, and there was blowback.
Yeah. And the water comes back up at you.
Yeah. I mean, surely that can't be.
That's not good.
It can't be good.
That's not good at all.
Because I think my corona can. It can be airborne.
Oh, this mum at school is an expert. It's airborne, and it also can be from water too. Yeah. And also she said you can get it, not realise you have it, and have no symptoms, and then pass it on to other people who get it, and then can die of it. So you can be a carrier of it and don't even know.
This could be the second plague. We shouldn't be talking about it like this. But it's going to affect the economy because it just goes to show how much the Chinese have to do with our economy. They're not coming.
Mate, I'm not going to go to the $2 shop. There'll be nothing in it. Those factories are closed down in China making crap. Yeah. The post office is going to be bereft. You know how you walk in the post office these days? It's like going to a Moroccan bazaar. There's so much shit in there, you know? Like you just want to buy a stamp and there's... For a while, I was taking photos of them and putting them on Twitter or something. In our post office, there's a Ned Kelly bottle opener.
It's a special world of zone, isn't it? If you're in the line...
In a can was the other one that made me
dwell, laugh. You do dwell. You're going...
What the fuck is that?
Could you ever want... A kangaroo paw bottle opener or that sort of shit? You know?
I have to say, when Glenn, who we spoke to on the podcast...
He was fantastic. What a great talent. He was very interesting.
Glenn, when his kids were little, I would just line up in that post office queue, and by the time I got to the end, I'd had all these kids' Christmas presents sorted. Koala in a can?
Yep.
Because they're all quite Aussie, which is handy.
I forgot what I was going to say.
I forgot what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about coronavirus.
Washing your hands.
Washing your hands.
You know, interesting of...
Oh, yes. What I was going to say was, is this excessive? when I push the button at the toilet,
yeah,
I do it with my elbow. Is that? Do you do that?
Yeah.
Do you do it with your foot?
Not with my foot. Or what about when you've been in the toilet, you wash your hands at the airport, and then you just wait for someone else to come through the door so you don't have to touch the door?
We don't want to touch the doorknob.
Who wants to touch the doorknob?
What about those ones? I think we talked about it before. Those ones in the parks where you push a button and the door goes, psh,
And then it
goes, you have 5 minutes.
Oh, I know. Okay,
and you go, hang on a second. I don't know. I don't know whether I can work within that range.
I'm a big fan of the park toilet or the airport toilet where there's no doors. So a lot of airports these days have no doors.
What?
Yeah, so you just walk in. No, it's all done with walls. So there's no physical door you have to actually physically open. Same in department stores and stuff too.
But hang on, when you're sitting down.
Oh, no.
What?
You've lost me. I'm talking about no doors to the toilet complex. You know, when you go into a airport and you don't have to open a door to get into the toilets, the urinals.
So you're worried about touching knobs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I prefer, you know, just to walk straight in, straight out.
Yeah.
But I never use the – I never go number twos at the airport or anything. Oh, no.
Well, it seems like you don't have a choice, though.
Oh, that's true. I know. Yeah. What about on a plane?
What about a plane? Well
– what about when you get up to go to the toilet on the plane, and obviously someone's taking a long time.
Yeah, you go – and then that makes that intriguing noise. It goes – whack. You're going, what is going on now? Are you firing into some sort of – into the stratosphere?
It's like a vacuum.
Is that what it is?
No, nowadays the waste gets kept on the plane in a big storage container. It's not
with your name on it.
Yeah, it's not shot into the, it's not shot outside.
Mr. O'Neill, we have your package for you.
You can pick that up with your luggage. There you go.
Oh dear, we've done it again.
Oh, we should have the music.
Here, get the all music right, quick. Here otherwise, we go. It's going to inappropriate again.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the show, Somehow Related. And it's pretty simple.
You've sent me a couple of things during the week.
From my Facebook group.
Because I don't have Facebook. And I've just got to applaud some of the people for some of their work.
I think Tim Cox was the guy who made
Tim Cox made up a semi-trailer with Glenn and Dave's flat balls on it. Because like a couple of weeks ago, we talked about balls that you buy in coffee shops that they roll off your plate. Yeah. And if you give them a little press, they become flat balls. Now, he's put that on the side of a semi-trailer.
Fantastic.
Glenn and Dave's Somehow Related flat balls.
And then Elizabeth Bentley cooked up some flat balls. I believe in Adelaide, maybe?
They were chicken balls, weren't they?
Yeah, but look, they're flat.
But they look good. When I looked at those, I went, I want those chicken balls right now.
Anyway, if you're on Facebook, just join the group. You'll see.
Good on you for, you know, playing with the theme. The theme, as Kath would say.
And you know what? You've obviously hit on something there with the flat balls. You've touched a nerve in society.
You know why? I reckon if something has a good title, it's 70% there.
I reckon you're right.
It doesn't have to be a great product if it's got a good title.
Like Tang. Yeah, that's a great title. But that was the orange juice drink that we drank in the 70s, which was just powdered.
Tang.
It had everything wrong with it, but it sold well initially because it was such a good...
It's such a good...
Tang.
And Whiz Fizz.
I love Whiz Fizz.
What was Whiz Fizz? It was a spoon and some powder.
Sherbet.
And you see kids with a bit of powder all over their face and they're in grade 3. You're going, what's going on there?
Marty Shigold had the best joke. I asked him the other day, he doesn't do it anymore, where he goes... You know when you get a Whiz Fizz and sometimes you get no spoon? He goes, what the fuck is happening at the Whiz Fizz factory?
You don't have to do much.
Hey? Yeah, he goes, the guy's going, Whiz Fizz spoon, Whiz Fizz spoon, Whiz Fizz spoon. Oh, what the fuck was I doing?
Yeah.
I said, you should bring it back. He goes, do people remember Whiz Fizz? I said, well, yeah, they still sell it.
Oh, they don't.
And you know what? They changed the packet because... The original Whiz Fizz used to have Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse on it. Remember that?
Which they can't do that anymore.
Well, they got a very cheap copyright in the 50s or something that went for years. And then eventually Disney must have been looking through their books and went, oh, what's Whiz Fizz? So now it's crazy kind of characters on there by memory. Anyway, we should get our topics and we've got to work out how they are related.
And
they can be anything.
Anything
at all. And people have been sending them in.
Yeah, it's great when people send them in.
Well, let's get this one. I think this one been sent in by a listener? I believe it has. What is it, Sam?
Glenn Robbins and John Lovitz.
This is a little bit embarrassing for you. You're somehow related to John Lovitz.
Can we ask, Sam, are you being to what's the deal? What's going on?
You're being facetious.
Is it for us to work out? What's the deal?
No.
This topic has been sent by Simon Lindsay, who also suggests the topics for episode 37, Babe Ruth and Cabbage.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Okay.
So it's a real one.
Do we make any assumptions here? Do we assume it's me? I don't think.
No, it's you. It's you.
It's me.
It's you.
Well, but surely I would know.
A connection with John Lovitz.
I have 6 degrees of separation.
Who is John Lovitz?
He's an American comedian, actor-comedian, who came through the Groundlings into Saturday Night Live.
He's very funny.
He's very good. Quite dry and low-key.
Round face.
Yeah, he's sort of like, he plays second and third fiddle. He's usually not a lead man, correct?
Yeah.
And he's done a lot of television, a lot of movies. I think he was in...
He's so funny. I remember him from that movie Happiness, which was a alternative film.
Oh, that's one of your favourite films.
I really like him. You know, he's very funny, John Lovitz.
I'd like to meet him. I think he still does. I think he's sort of got back onto the stand-up circuit.
Oh, is he a stand-up?
He's back doing a bit of stand-up doing characters and stuff.
I'd love to see him doing stand-up.
But I have...
He's got that kind of voice.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that kind of...
I'll tell you what. Yeah.
I'll tell you something for nothing.
Yeah.
He was in Seinfeld episodes, wasn't he, John Lovitz?
Well, yes, he was in the Seinfeld episode. Mm. Maybe we could have that as think music. Mm. It's the one where George has a crack at him because he hasn't seen him. It's the opening scene of an episode.
And he's got cancer.
Yeah, that's right. That's and John Lovitz. And then he carries it on in the episode where he's going, well, how come I was last to know?
What were the big movies John Lovitz was in? Has he been in some of those comedy movies, like City Slickers? No.
It feels like he was in City Slickers.
Can you just give us a few of John Lovitz's big movies?
Was he in the... I'll tell you what he might have been in. The Wedding Singer?
Oh.
It sounds like I looked it up on my phone, but I didn't. And I think he was in Big. I reckon he might have been in...
Tom Hanks' Big.
Yeah, and I reckon he might have been in the cowboy one. What was the cowboy one?
I think that's City Slickers, but I might have it wrong. Hang on. Sam, just tell us a few of the movies that he's been in.
John Lovitz appeared in The Wedding Singer, Big City Slickers, To Loaded Weapon, Matilda, Cats and Dogs, The Producers, and a few others.
There you go. So, as I said, I reckon he's played sort of not... He hasn't done any leading man stuff. He's played sort of...
He's the funny guy that they get in to do a small role and they know he's going to be good.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those guys. He's like a Will Ferrell in a way.
Yeah.
But... hasn't been in those massive movies where you know he's going to be funny, John Lovitz, I reckon. He's sort of like a junior Bill Murray in a way.
He's
in that category.
Yeah. I was one of those people, if you say John Lovitz, you probably don't remember it, but if you saw him, you go, oh, yeah, I know that guy.
And he's obviously Spanish or Puerto Rican or something. He's got a bit of that blood in him because he does have a bit of that look to him.
So, what else? Well, I suppose there is 6 degrees of separation between him and me.
Well, how?
Can you work it out?
It's
pretty obvious. John Lovitz has been in Seinfeld.
Oh, okay. So you work with George.
Yeah, I've worked with George and Jerry Seinfeld, whatever.
Oh, that's right. You hosted Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, sorry. They got to work with me.
Yeah, they got to.
So, yes, Jerry Seinfeld, yeah. There's only two cast members I haven't met from Seinfeld or haven't got to meet me. I've met Kramer.
I've met Kramer.
Oh, God, we've got this room covered.
I haven't met Elaine, though.
I would love to meet Julia.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously.
Dreyfus. What's her name? Julia.
Yeah, Julia Louis Dreyfus.
Oh, of course, we'd love them. What a delight she would be. Absolute delight.
I'd meet Newman. I'd love to meet Newman. Love to meet. I met Kramer on radio and he came in.
So he's not that different from his on-screen persona, is he not?
No. Well, you know, they had this whole thing when he toured and he was promoting something like shoes or... You know, he was getting paid a lot of money to come to Australia to go on. I think Triple M were playing promos going, Kramer's no good or something like that because he upset some of the interviewers because he wasn't funny or whatever. But we found him really funny.
I saw him on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee and he was with Jerry. He was delightful. Yeah. He went through a bad time because he got caught out doing the racist stuff.
Returned to stand up and then got angry at
people and then he felt talking. And that really hurt him a lot, I would imagine it did.
As a stand-up comedian, it's very, very easy to get angry at people talking and mucking up a show.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't resort to racial taunts. But
just imagine if someone turned up with a camera at your work one day when you were having a crack at someone in accounts.
Did they have a camera, did they? Was that what
I think it was. Yeah. They recorded it on a phone and then they put it out to the world.
I remember watching I remember watching the incident. But, you know, like yesterday I was doing a gig in a park in Ringwood and I had to host this thing. And this guy who I've known for years, Tim, he's a clown.
Mm.
And so he gets on stilts, right, and he does a bubble show. And we're in the dressing
room.
Sounds
like a stripper.
He's a good guy. He does a bubble show.
What does he wear? What does he wear when he's doing the bubble show?
Okay, so he's got stilts on. Clown pants, a coloured shirt, a little hat with a whirly thing on the top,
yeah.
Clown makeup, a nose. So he looks like a clown.
Where are the bubbles coming from?
Okay,
Because that'd be a show I'd like to see.
He sort of uses wand things that make the bubbles, and he does balloon animals and stuff. But I was in there was a dressing room, and I was in there, and he comes and goes, oh, I don't want to sound like a cliche, but I'm like an angry clown today. His kids keep punching me, and I just want to fucking smack them.
Well, it's amazing, isn't it?
Whenever and he goes, they keep bursting the bubbles. Just let the bubbles go for a little bit, kids, before you burst them, all right? Because he does this thing, he was telling me that he makes a bubble, and someone can stand inside it.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah. But he said it doesn't really work outdoors. It works indoors. So he's trying to work
on his... He can make a bubble. How does he do that?
Well, you just, you know, you got to get a big thing, big wand thing to make it.
You must have special detergent. Impressive detergent. Oh, yeah. And his ring must be really big. Sorry.
Bubble magic.
Well, look, I take my hat off to him then.
But you can.
And why are we talking about that?
We're talking about Kramer getting angry at this gig.
And, oh, that's right. He was getting angry. Kids.
And the clown was getting angry. And you can see how people snap sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I told you about the time that I worked with Humphrey B. Bear. And he's in the change rooms with the top off with his bottles of wine, having a cigarette, going, fucking hot out there.
Oh, it's just like, I've snapped before and always.
You've snapped? I did Uncle Arthur. I used to do Uncle Arthur. And you grabbed on the ass and grabbed around the, you know, you're going, hey, you know.
So well, I did the grand final breakfast near Shepparton, Rochester.
Oh, you're painting a beautiful picture. The grand final breakfast in Shepparton.
So you drive 2 hours from Melbourne to get to Shepparton, right? Oh, you get there and the idiot hosting's like, oh, we got you on last at like 11.
Trouble.
And so there's a lot of middle-aged people our age there, but there's two tables, right, of young people, right? Mm. Like probably the players, 18, 19, 20-year-old blokes.
Yep.
They're all sitting on one table. It appeared that all their girlfriends or girls they knew were sitting on another table.
Interesting.
Two tables away. So they didn't mix. The girls were on one table. The boys were on another table. And they're throwing bread rolls at each other. Okay, because when I get on, I'm doing my stand-up, and it's going okay, but then they start throwing bread rolls at each other, and I'm like, all right, guys. I'm like, will you fucking stop throwing? Then I go, just go outside. Guys, just go outside.
Stop it.
And then the rest of the audience kind of turn on you a little bit.
On you?
Well, because you've...
Oh, well, seriously, they're throwing bread rolls.
I know, but it's like a psychological thing where, are you the funny guy, but now you're the teacher. I reckon it's a psychological thing where they don't know they're actually laughing less but it's just because you've become angry all of a sudden.
The trick I learned was you go up to the table during the break that are giving trouble and you say the management wants to throw you out, but I've said that you guys are okay.
Oh, that is brilliant.
And I know you. And then you say to them, but I tell you who's giving me the shits, it's that table over there.
Yeah.
So then they are quiet for you and they tell the table over there to shut up. So it's just like reverse psychology. Very smart. Very
That's clever. Really good.
Very clever.
That's really good.
So, John Lovitz.
Funny man. Glenn Robbins, funny man. There's a connection. All right, let's go have a burger. But we've actually had them beforehand. We don't want to hark on about food.
But we did have a burger.
Okay.
So, I don't want to say me. It's a bit weird. This is weird.
Well, we've got to discuss you.
Well, do we only discuss me in terms of John Lovitz? So that would be through Seinfeld. So I think if we discuss it, we will shut it down that it's me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I would know.
What, you'd work it out, you reckon? You'd immediately work it out. I don't know if you would work it out. I've already got a bit of a guess, but
I don't.
What else can we say about Glenn Robbins?
Well, okay. I mean,
two of my favourite funny actors. Tell you what.
Oh, that's very kind.
Isn't it interesting though? In this country, in America, a lot of these comedian guys do films. Oh, I mean, they've got a bigger industry, haven't they? Yeah. We're in our country. We don't do a lot of comedy.
Yeah, we
films
don't.
Anymore.
Yeah, we don't do. A comic film is really hard.
Oh, incredibly
and
hard.
And I tell you that
we've both been involved in films.
Well, I call it the 45-minute rule. You get to the 45-minute mark and you go, I'm invested or I'm not invested. And a lot of the time, it's a good sketch that goes for a while. And then you go, something else has got to happen here. Otherwise, I'm not hanging around.
Yeah.
It's one idea that you're stringing out across 90 minutes. You've got to go back. Yeah. I do this in my lecture about how to write movies.
It's coming to all regional.
Oh, yeah.
It's doing mainly the regions first.
Yeah,
everyone.
I do. The
Wagga.
First year, Wagga. And anyway, come along.
Geraldton.
Yeah, bring a pen and paper.
And also, people have to know it's not funny.
Oh, no, it's not
They're
funny.
Not getting Glenn Robbins a funny man.
Oh, no. I do a surprise thing at the end where I come out in character. Uncle Arthur comes out.
But to be fair, a lot of people have gone by this.
Yeah. To be fair.
And also, people who turn up with their kids. It's so inappropriate. This is a script writing session.
I would wonder how well they would do anyway. Because the ratio of comedy films that work. Because, I mean, they've got a scattergun approach almost with a lot of them.
The American ones?
Yeah, they just sort of pop them out. Yeah. And if one hits the target. If one hits the target, it makes enough to make another 10. Lorne Michaels?
Yeah, that's the Saturday Night Live guy.
Yeah, he has done a lot of
movies.
Films. Like, I liked all the one. What was one of my favourites?
He would have done ones that John Lovitz was in, like Coneheads and movies like that. They're all Saturday Night Live spin-offs. Wayne's World. They're all spin-offs.
Wayne's World, I love great. Wayne's World. What's the name of the big fat guy? What's his name who passed away?
John Candy.
John. No.
The other one. Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah.
They got a caravan down by the river.
Yeah, yeah. He did a couple of movies with the
Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy, great film.
David Spade.
And David Spade, very funny. And his biography is very good, by the way. Did I lend it to you?
David Spade's
biography. Yeah, it's very good, and he's written another one.
You lend it to me.
But that's an interesting thing. Like, you can almost exist longer, like a John Lovitz, because you're not a leading man. Being a leading man can be trouble, but if you're a second player, you can kind of just tick along very nicely, just popping up every now and then without actually, you know, having your...
It's very true.
Your brand on the line. With me... Oh, God, I can't...
Well, you've done more TV shows than...
What movies you in?
Lantana?
Yeah, whatever.
Evil Angels?
Yeah.
In the barbecue scene?
The barbecue scene?
Hang on, what was the Dingo's Got My Baby? You were in that one, yeah?
Yeah, I was in that. Yeah, I was home watching him on television going, he's a wanker. I called him a wanker.
Oh.
I was a non-believer. I was your average Joe non-believer.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought you were talking about watching your own performance.
Have I done any comedy? I did Kathy Kim a movie.
The Kathy Kim movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite big.
And I did...
Lantana. But that's serious, kind of.
That's the serious. That's the one. If I was on... if I was being interviewed, I'd probably wear like a scarf.
Yeah.
I'd put a scarf around my neck.
Get a bit Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, and they have a shot of me walking along the beach thinking about.
I'd love to see an article of you in TV Week where you're going to be serious now. You know when comedians do that? I'm going to be more serious now.
Oh, yeah, I've decided I'm going to be serious.
Serious actor.
Well, and what about the other way around where serious actors go, I think I'll do some comedy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So you just do it under the brand of comedy. What about you'll just do a good script as opposed to I'm going to do some comedy because I really want to stretch my wings.
Yeah, I don't.
Anyway, so look.
What is the connection? I've got an idea.
I've got an idea. You know, have you Googled your name?
Yeah, I've Googled my name.
Are you? What else are you in the world besides you?
Oh, yeah, very good.
I'm a submarine captain.
Hey, that's impressive.
I'm a submarine, and I'm a vice principal. Not I shouldn't say I'm. Glenn Robbins is vice principal.
Well, I only know because I've been on Josh Earle's podcast. You've been on it. Don't you know who I am?
Yeah, very good.
And he starts off his podcast by saying Dave O'Neill is also a swimming instructor in America. So I was a swimming instructor in America and a guitar teacher too. There's a Dave O'Neill guitar teacher.
I could see you with a whistle around your neck going more laps.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Come on. Tumble turn.
Come on.
And then you'd be out in front of the class with the guitar going, what? Green sleeves.
More modern than that.
Would you? You have to start off easy, though.
Train whistle blowing out along the bay.
And I reckon for a bit of fun, you'd have a bit of ukulele in there as well. Bit of banjo.
I'd do a bit of a, tow it down to the riptide. You know, a bit of something contemporary for the kids.
I'm sure you would, yeah. Because you are a bass player, which is not
fun. I am.
When was the last time you picked up a bass?
A while ago.
How did you learn the bass?
When I was in Kalgoorlie.
How did you learn it?
How did I learn it? Just taught myself, basically. And I did a bit of music at Teachers College, but I learned the guitar first and then the bass. Bass is easy because it's four strings. And you don't play chords, so you just play notes. So it's easy. But when I was in Kalgoorlie doing this gig, and I had to, in a park, I don't know why I seem to do a lot of gigs in parks, but and the cover band Powder Keg, because they're older than me, they needed a break. And so I had to fill in 10 minutes or something. And so I said to the bass player, can I play your bass in the break? So I just played I do bass lines of the 70s and 80s. And
that's a good idea.
I do My Sharona. But now I'm going to
How's My Sharona go, bass-wise?
Oh, it's a great bass line.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically the melody. When you're going to give it up, give it when you're going to give me some time, Sharona.
That's what we were talking about before.
My Corona. I'm going to do My Corona.
Wow.
When you hang on, how would it go? When you're going to put your mask on? You've come back from China. Hello, I'm going to rename you My Corona.
That's a new musical.
And Tommy Johnson used to do My Scrotum. But that sometimes songs come along that are a perfect parody, aren't they? Like, My Sharona was always a good one for parody.
There are some that we used to work with. Who were those guys? The two guys that used to work, and they did some ones that were pretty.
Scaredies? Down
in Geelong. I can't even begin to. I'm being followed by a. I'm not going to say what it, I'm being followed.
Not Dickie and Philly, yes, what they call it. Dicko, yes, and.
Yeah. Hilarious. Smash a room. You couldn't follow them.
No, you couldn't follow this.
Could
no,
not yes. follow them. So.
All right. Well, should we have some thinking music? We may as well. I think we've run out of things to say about Glenn Robbins.
Can you sum me up? You could sum up John Lovitz. We have sort of summed him up.
Yeah, he's a great actor, funny actor.
But he tends to always play sort of within the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right, a second or third stringer kind of.
Yeah, but he doesn't do characterization. He does sort of a character which is within his range. Mm. And then I kind of do everything from old men to stupid.
You always play goofy kind
of
guys.
I always play stupid people.
Yeah, yeah.
I was offered a role as playing a smart guy, and I go, I can't do that.
You wouldn't play a barrister? You're not going to play a barrister or
we
something
had a
like
meeting
that?
This morning. After the meeting, you said, I should be a barrister. I don't know why you said
lawyer.
That.
You should be a lawyer, I said.
A barrister's different.
I didn't see you stand up in court. I saw you as a negotiator type guy.
In-between guy.
But as I said, you said, I don't think so. I said, I'm not talking about I'm talking about like the castle lawyer, you know, the guy in the strip shopping.
I remember when the
office.
Fowlers were fighting with the Follettis. Hmm. I remember it was a rock fight, and I was about 10.
Huh. I was talking about a legal case.
No, the Fowlers were over. The Fowlers were next door to us, and the Follettis were a few doors down, and they were chucking rocks at each other. For some reason, I was able to go between the two and broker a deal.
Wow! See, you're in a
what's his name?
He's a diplomat.
Yeah,
diplomat.
I was and I don't know how I'm going. How do I do this?
They should send you into Israel.
Kissinger, is that what he was?
Yes.
Yeah.
You should send into Israel and sort out the situation over the Palestinian situation.
I don't think that's beyond me. I think if I, you know, I could do it. If nothing else, I could do it as Uncle Arthur. So summing up, John Lovitz, we are look. You got to say, similar.
Yeah,
in that we do
funny guys.
Yeah, stand up background. Still occasionally do a bit of stand up. When I do a bit of stand up, I do a bit of stand up with you now. I do handicap stand up, which is I only get on stage with Dave O'Neill. I never get out there by myself.
I'm like your carer. I'm just there for you.
Look, those dogs that people have. You go, what anxiety dogs? What do they call
emotional
it?
Support or whatever. Yeah.
When I panic, I just look around and go, Dave, I've forgotten my material. What do I say now? You go, it's all right, Glenn.
Or as my wife has made that comparison that with racing, the thoroughbred gets a donkey put in with him to calm him down. I'm the donkey.
No.
Come on.
We did a gig the other night. It was very enjoyable. I must admit,
fun.
I enjoyed it.
Well,
a lot.
We're doing a few gigs.
We've got a few coming up.
Canberra's coming up. We're doing Ringwood and Byron Bay.
And
that's it at the moment.
That's it at the moment.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's all.
All right. So
what about? I reckon that would you like? Is there a scene you'd like to hear from John? You don't want to hear any of my shit.
No. Well, we'd love to hear your stuff, but no. Let's play the John Lovitz Seinfeld bit.
Hey, George. Gary. Well, where the hell have you been? I've been leaving your phone messages for months.
I know, I've been pretty busy.
Busy? Don't give me busy. Who's not busy? I'm busy, we're all busy, everybody's busy. All right, tell me, what's kept you so busy?
Mostly chemotherapy. Hey, I'll see you.
There's that woman that never talks to anybody.
Really?
Every day she comes in, she sits at that table and reads. Never talks to anybody.
Oh. I spoke to Debbie Biblo. She said to say hi.
Really? You know, Carrie, I really have to say, I'm a little bit hurt that you didn't decide to confide in me.
Well, frankly, you can't keep a secret. You know, you get two pair, the whole table knows.
Well, I still think it was wrong.
All right, well, I'm sorry, all right? I guess I was just thinking of myself.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
So good. Chris Farley is the guy we were thinking of. I just remember the fat guy. Yeah.
That guy, Chris Farley. He was the late, great Chris Farley.
Oh, if you Google YouTube, he did a great routine with Patrick.
The motivational speaker.
Motivational speaker who lives in a caravan by the river is very funny. But he also does a great manpower strip with Patrick Swayze, I think it is. Very funny.
One of the most gifted physical performers. And sadly, he died way too young. He was one of those people who just... He just stand there and he was hilarious.
Funny.
He's just, you know, he just had such a wonderful presence. I remember seeing him in Roseanne before he was famous.
Oh, really?
He was in a shop wearing a leather jacket. And you couldn't take your eyes off him. You just can't take your eyes off him.
Funny.
Fantastic. Well, I think you should go first because it's too indulgent for me.
Okay. I reckon that John Lovitz, and I have no idea whether this is true, I reckon he was in the American Kathleen Kim. I reckon he played you in the American Kathleen Kim because I cannot, for the life of me, remember who played Cal Knight in Kathleen Kim. I don't think he did, but I don't know. That's my only... What are you going to say?
Oh, man, that's not even... Yeah, I'm not... I'm going to say that he that's his real name.
Oh, wow. That's a fake name.
Yeah, but he doesn't look like a Glenn Robbins, does he? He looks good. He's got some South American, darker skin, so I don't think it's going to be right. But I can't think of anything else because, you know...
Should we get the answer?
Yeah.
John Lovitz played a character called Glenn Robbins in the 1994 comedy film City Slickers 2 is the immature younger brother of one of the other lead characters.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Oh, hang on, but can you bring it up on your phone or something?
Yeah.
Just check the spelling because there's two N's and there's two B's in if it's it's Glenn Robbins, I got two N's, and Robbins, I got two B's. So it may be a...
Sam?
There's only one N in the character name of John Lovitz in City Slickers 2, but Robbins is the same minor details.
Yeah. It's only got one N in Glenn.
It only has one N.
Yes.
Okay.
So officially, it's not the same as me, but not that it should have meant to be anything to do with me.
But Robbins is the same, exactly.
Robbins
the same.
Is the same, yeah. Robbins is the same. Yeah.
Well, who knew that? That's a great. Thanks to the listener who sent that in. That is great.
Because you don't ever look through.
No character names.
You don't.
No.
Do you remember any character names from.
Look, for the Blues Brothers or something like that, there's Jake and Joel, I think it is. So you remember some first names.
Yeah.
But what was Bill Murray's name in Groundhog Day? The Castle, the Kerrigan family?
Yeah.
Dale Kerrigan, maybe?
As I said, I mean, don't ask me. When I was doing Upper Middle Bogan, I used to have to take the cast sheet from the series before with all the names on it because I could only remember people's character names. I couldn't remember their real names.
That's
embarrassing. If you see someone out and you've worked with them only once or twice.
Sandy, that's my stage name. Oh, sorry.
Really embarrassing. But I get a lot of that. I get called my stage characters.
Yeah. Well, that's...
And the other day...
It's like a muscle memory. Oh, Russell Coit, you know. Yeah, fair enough.
The other day, this guy, I was... I'll give him a plug. I was doing a launch of John Weber's new book, The Red Chair.
The Red Chair.
Which I launched. There you go.
I've read it. It's a good book.
Yeah. And someone came up to me and said, "I've got to say, huge fan. What a thrill it is to meet you." Yeah, that's okay. What are you doing here? Oh, I'm just launching the book. Oh, that's very nice. Anyway, can I get a photograph? And I said, "Yeah, sure, yeah. I'm a nice guy. Here, yeah, photograph." And then he goes... Oh, I really loved you when you did Colin Carpenter.
He
did. Yeah, I get a lot of that.
Carpenter.
I get a lot of Colin Carpenter. That's Kim Gingell, who is one of the great comedy characters. Don't get me wrong. But after all the passion he was speaking, I didn't want to then go, not him. Because
so you just let it go.
I let it go because what's the point?
What's the point?
Really?
Remember we were in Perth once and we were standing outside and this guy came up, obviously affected by drugs, but quite an old junkie, not a young junkie.
Yep.
He goes, "Oh, man." He goes, "I love you, man. Can I get your autograph?" And so old-fashioned, asking for an autograph. And you go, "Yeah, okay." And then he goes, "Have you got a pen?" And you're like, no. And then I go, he goes, oh, we, and then he gets in that whole flustering, we got to get a pen. Anyone got a pen? Oh, anyone got a pen?
Why? And, oh, look who is and over
then I,
here.
And then I'm like your security guard. I said, I go, look, we're here for a couple of days. We'll be around. You'll see us again. Mm. You'll see us again. He goes, oh, cool, okay. Then he looks at you and goes, what's your name again anyway? What's your name again anyway?
I had a kid come over to me in the middle of a pool.
Oh, yeah, that's
with
weird.
A pen and a bit of paper.
A pen in a pool?
In a pool. I'm going, seriously? Then there was I've told you about the famous guy in Byron Bay.
No, Byron Bay's weird. I had a guy in Byron Bay who thought I was Mikey Robbins. He kept calling me Mikey Robbins over and over.
And then you go, you're not. You go, bullshit, mate. You're just trying to be incognito.
He was on a minibus with a microphone and drove past the place we were staying. I was on the front lawn. And he said on the minibus speaker, everyone over there, there's comedian Mikey Robbins. I'm just like, and my wife's like, why didn't you correct him? He's on a bus. Like, anyway.
Yeah,
what happened in Byron Bay? Byron
I was
Bay.
Walking down the street with Tom Gleisner. A guy jumps in front of us, goes, oi, one question. And I go, okay, what's your question? And he goes, I don't like your show.
Yeah, that's not a question.
It's not a question, mate.